Yesterday, the first verse, the general meter was tree stoop, and the next few verses are in anustup meter until we get to verse 5. Then the meter changes. So it corresponds with the sections that we made. You'll notice the meters change as the sections change. So it's not a coincidence or a mistake. You know, there's some planning. This verse, this book. The meters correspond with the sections.
The meter of the verse.
Yeah, it's called chanda. Atyahara prayashascha prajalpo niyamagraha janna sangoscha lalyamcha shadhir bhaktir vinashati atyahara. Overeating or too much collecting. Priya service is spoiled when he becomes too entangled in the following six activities. 1. Eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required. 2. Over-endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain. 3. Talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters. 4. Practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement. Or rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures and working independently or whimsically. 5. Associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. And 6. Being greedy for mundane achievements. So, in the early stages of bhakti, material desires still remain within the mind of the neophyte sadhaka. He cannot suppress all of these different pushings, which are mentioned in the first verse. So, because he cannot, he's not free from them, therefore they develop perverted desires and activities, which are obstacles on the path of bhakti, and these are mentioned in this verse. So there's a very clear correspondence between verse 1 and 2. If someone doesn't control those first six things, then these things mentioned in this verse become manifest in his behavior, some perverted tendencies in his devotional activities. So, I guess what we'll do is just start talking about each item. Atyahara. Yeah, maybe we should write something down.
Bhojan.
It's the Brahmin's two activities, bhojan and bhajan. But here, bhojan generally means to eat. But it also means all sensual activities. Sensual engagements, or rather should say, let's say, sense gratification. That's more specific. So when someone can't control vajradegam, then atyahara. Is overeating happens. That's pretty clear. So, but then there's the other kinds of sense gratification. It means all different kinds of collecting of money and collecting of different kinds of items which are unnecessary, storing and hoarding and stashing things for one sense gratification. So this is what happens. The person's spiritual life will be lost because his mind becomes absorbed in material mellows. Instead of meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord and his devotional service, devotional mellows, his mind becomes absorbed in thinking about making himself satisfying the senses more and more. Of course, the renunciate, he should not collect anything. Like someone doing madhukari, a very elevated sannyasi, maybe, the Parivrajakacharya, he does madhukari, and he begs. So he'll beg from a certain direction or from a certain number of houses in the Brahmin community, maybe seven. He'll say to the, I will beg from seven houses, and then whatever he gets, some chapatis and some sabji, some rice, he'll just eat that only, like this. And if he gets more than he can eat, then he'll just distribute it some way. He can never keep it for the next day, thinking that, maybe tomorrow I won't get enough, so then I'll have this extra here, like this. So for the renunciate, that's totally forbidden. And even for the advanced vanaprastas, because as there's four kinds of sannyasis, Kutichak, Bahudak, Parivrajakacharya, and Paramahamsa, so also in the vanaprasta stage there's also four kinds. And one of them, he also, the most advanced one, he just eats fenapa, he just eats the fruit which falls from the tree. And in another one, when he wakes up in the morning, whatever direction he faces, then that direction he will beg from only. And then the second one, which is a little bit less advanced, he has some stock of grains, but when he buys a new stock, or if someone gives him a new bag of rice or something, then whatever's left in the old bag, he should distribute that. He shouldn't keep that. So the first one, he just eats boiled vegetables, half-boiled vegetables. This is his recommendation for austerity. So he's not... The higher stage of vanaprastha also is he doesn't collect. Now the grihastha, obviously, he can collect. But he shouldn't collect more than he needs. He should also live very simple and keep everything down to a minimum as much as possible. But he has to collect money, and he has to have an excess of money. And he should use that money for serving Vaishnavas and guests and sadhus, and for, some devotional activities, preaching activities, like this. But he should keep his collecting to a minimum, and keep his storage or collection of, his bank account to a minimum. But there should be something for grihasthas, because there's always some emergency. Some family members may become ill, there's some, medical bills, or maybe there's a flood and all of the stock of food is lost in the go down, right? Rats come and eat everything, or whatever. So he has to maintain his family, so he has to have some little bit of a buffer for himself. Thank you. Did everybody mark themselves present? Huh? So Prabhupada gives the example of, maybe you can tell me, what example does he give in the commentary about this collecting business? Huh? The birds. Yeah, what does the bird do? Yeah. The birds, they see some bag of rice. If someone leaves a bag of rice, the bird comes and just eats a little bit. He's like a Paramahamsa. He just eats a little bit, and then he flies away. But the rascal humanoids, they come and they take the whole thing, they cook it up, and then they stick it in there. So the Vaishnava accepts some principles of Varnashram since they're favorable to his devotional service, because they help to make him more peaceful. And they are actually counted as a part of his devotional service. They're not counted as karma, prayas. Because he's accepted that the goal of life is to love Krishna. And he's accepted that he is a servant of Krishna. And he has accepted that devotional service is the process to attain love of Krishna. And he's chanting the holy name, hearing Bhagavatam, associating with Vaishnavas, serving the deity, etc. So his life is spiritualized. So if he accepts a small amount of Varnashram principles, that is incorporated within his bhakti, and it becomes a part of his bhakti. And it no longer is, it doesn't act as an obstacle to his devotional progress. In England, we have a nice gentleman named Hari Vansha Prabhu, who's he's one of the leaders of the Hindu community there. He has Namahate once a week, and he has an old Vaishnav wife and children, and he is an optometrist. He has a shop where he sells eyeglasses, and he goes to work with white, you know, cotton yogi pants, I guess you can call them, and some kurta, tilak. He has some hair, and he wears a sikka. He goes to work like this. It's his shop. And in the shop, he has nice framed pictures of Prabhupada and Radha and Krishna and Gaur Nithai. And he has bhajans playing and incense burning. And he has some big bowl of prasadam that he gives to the customers. I mean, it's like a temple. And any sannyasi that comes there, he gets free eyeglasses. Many sannyasis come to England just to get the eyeglasses. Because they're very expensive nowadays. Because in England they get a lot of free services, free dental work, and so forth. So one sannyasi, I was spending a lot of time in the sannyasi room. I was teaching at Bhaktivedanta Manor, and so a lot of sannyasis come, and one of them, Vipramukhaswami, was there. He told me he just came from this shop, and he was very impressed. He said, it's just like a temple in there. He said, I couldn't believe it. I walked in, there was, you know, Prabhupada was singing bhajan, and there was pictures of Krishna all over the walls, and there was prasadam there, and there was incense burning, and this devotee was running the shop. He had a tilak on, you know, he was shocked. And then he was on the telephone talking to one of the customers, and he was telling, yes, I'm sorry to hear your eyeglasses broke, but anyway, it's Krishna's mercy, because now you have to come back to the shop. I can give you more prasadam, and you'll have to do some more seva, and it's all mercy of God, so don't worry. He was preaching to the man like this. So the sannyasi came back, and he was saying, it's fantastic. So he's adopted some karma prayas, but it doesn't act as an obstacle for his bhakti. It becomes part of his bhakti. The Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned that. So it's no longer counted as karma when somebody is like that. So devotees, they don't have to be afraid of working in the world, because then they can digest the material energy and churn it and transfer it into Krishna Shakti. As mentioned in the Brahma Samhita at the end, also in the commentaries, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur calls it Gauna Bhakti Yoga. Gauna means secondary. So it's a kind of secondary practice of devotional service. It may not be considered Uttama Bhakti, but it's no longer considered karma. It's part of bhakti. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati calls it Gauna Bhakti Yoga. Gauna, G-A-U-N-A. Gauna means secondary. Other kinds of prayas there are also, like holy place, well, I guess you can call it tirtha prayas, traveling to the holy places. This can be prayas also. You know, there's people in Calcutta, they go all the way up into the mountains to go to Rishikesh, and then they take bath in the Ganga, but the Ganga is coming right past their door, practically, right? So they go, they make all this endeavor to go to a holy place, and then they go and take bath there. And they could have done it in Calcutta. Of course, and actually Narottam Das Thakur, he says, don't go to the holy places in Kali Yuga. He says it's not good. Because why? Because there's a lot of rascals and cheaters and phony, you know, yogis and bogies and babajis, and they'll cheat you. And they're in the guise of a sadhu. But if you're going to the holy place and you're actually associating with a real sadhu or some group of sadhus, real sadhus, then you should go. Then you should endeavor. But otherwise not. Serving Vaishnavas is not considered prayas. As much as you can endeavor to serve Vaishnavas, this is good. And pratishta, doing something to become famous, is the worst kind of prayas, the lowest kind. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, unfortunately, it's unavoidable for many. In other words, many Vaishnavas will unfortunately be hooked by the snake of pratishta, or bit. By the snake of pratishta. It's a very major problem. Pratishta means for position, fame, name. Pratishta. And he quotes Sanat Goswami. He says that even if you give up all material desires, this desire for fame is very difficult to give up, most difficult. And he says it's the root cause of all anarthas, and it's like stool. Nice, juicy stool. Raghunath Das Goswami compares it to hot donkey urine, taking a bath in hot donkey urine. So it's the lowest type of thing. It's the root cause of all other anarthas. And he says it's very difficult to give up. Even if you give up all other material desires. And I think Tulsidas also said something like this. No. Dharma mula abhiman. Adharma mula abhiman. So the root cause of irreligion is pride, abhiman. Well, it's similar. Pratishta, abhiman. Adharma mula abhiman. Right? Krishna also says, dambo darpa abhimanascha in Bhagavad Gita. The demoniac tendencies there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this instruction of Sanat Goswami is extremely important. He says, it's extremely serious. So, gives us some warning. But the conclusion is, if one takes shelter of the holy name with humility, by the Lord's mercy, without any other separate endeavor or prayas, then all knowledge of the absolute truth, which is needed to awaken devotion within the heart, is automatically manifested within the devotee. He doesn't have to perform any other endeavor. There's nothing else needed, any other independent prayas, other than just chanting the holy name and some Vaishnava seva. And he says, in Bhakti Loka, he says, a sadhaka should pass his life in a natural occupation that is favorable to devotional service. And he should hear and chant with knowledge of his relationship with the Lord. And that ends the discussion on prayas. Prayas. So atyahara prayasischa prajalpa. Then prajalpa, the next one. So prajalpa means idle talk. So if one doesn't. Let's see. I want to make a list, maybe. Thank you. So the ordinary form is gossip, but the worst form is ninda, sadhu ninda, you know, blaspheming, criticizing devotees. Because and ninda is probably the worst thing that someone can do. If you were trying to destroy your bhakti, you know, if you were trying to think of a, you know, the most powerful way to destroy it, then just criticize Vaishnavas, and this will get rid of your devotion very quickly. And the effects of sadhu ninda follow one all the way up to the stage of prema in a subtle form, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This is, there are different causes of anarthas, and one of them is aparad. And one of the aparads is Vaishnava aparad. And that is not absolutely relinquished until after prema, until one actually is at in front of the lotus feet of the Lord. So sadhu ninda is the most detrimental to devotional practice. So then the question is, well, who is a devotee? How can we tell if we're criticizing a Vaishnava? Well, Vaishnavas have 26 qualities. And again, there is a Sarup Lakshana and a Tatastha Lakshana. The primary qualification or quality of the Vaishnava is Krishnaika Sharanam, which means that he's completely surrendered or exclusively surrendered to Krishna. Krishnaika Sharanam. This is the primary of the 26 qualities, the most important one. If he has this one quality, then all of the other 25 will manifest. Although he may not have any of the other qualities, or he may not have them in full, but he's still to be considered a Vaishnava. And if you criticize him or blaspheme him, then you are performing sadhu ninda, and you will get the effect. So although the person may not have all saintly qualities, but if he's actually surrendered to Krishna, and he's endeavoring to surrender to his guru and do seva, and he takes shelter of the holy name, he's chanting the holy name, then he's a Vaishnava. And we should be very careful not to criticize any Vaishnavas. Sometimes Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that one may criticize a Vaishnava because of his low birth. But this is not this does not justify criticizing the person. Or the fact that he has committed some sinful activities previous to his coming to devotional service. He has some past sins or some past faults. That's the second one. Then the third one is that there may be some present traces of his sinful activities in his behavior or something like that. And then the last is that he may perform an accidental act of sin. So usually people, they may take one of these four or all of them and criticize someone because of these things. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says these are not cause for criticizing a Vaishnava. They do not justify such activity. And if one does criticize a Vaishnava, then immediately his bhakti will recede. It will wane just like the moon, gradually getting smaller and smaller, and then disappear. And then one's taste for hearing and chanting and serving will gradually dry up, and suddenly he'll just leave, because he won't see any reason to stay around any longer, because he has no more taste. Who was very fallen, he was still rectified, because when he saw the prostitute and the low-class woman embracing and so forth. He tried in the beginning to control himself, but he was overwhelmed. So even though he spent many years in sinful life, it was still considered like accidental because of his endeavor to try to control himself. So then what to speak of others? That means we have to be very generous and broad-minded and, you know, with Vaishnavas, even when they fall down. Because that's how Krishna is. Saro eva samantavya samyak vyavasaito hisa. He still considers the person a sadhu, even though he had committed sudaracharo, apichat sudaracharo. Okay, so that's Prajalpa. Prajalpa niyamagraha. So here's a good topic, niyamagraha. We have a lot to say about this one. we have to begin. There's two kinds of discussion of niyamagraha. We can try to do it. The first one, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in Bhaktya Loka, which is a book based on this verse and the next verse. So he goes into great detail about all these things. But just to summarize his points on Niyamagraha, he says that that in religion there are different steps. That the conditioned soul can come from the lowest platform and he can rise up to the highest platform of Prema Bhakti. And then along the way, there are different levels of religious teachings and eligibility, or adhikar. And gradually, as the sadhaka advances on the path, he goes from one step to the next. And on each step, there are rules and regulations for that particular position. And when he's on a step for any length of time, he's duty-bound to follow those rules and regulations of that step. Like if you're a brahmachari, then you have to act as a brahmachari. If you're a grihastha, then you have a different set of rules and regulations. And a vanaprastha and a sannyasa. Or along the paths of bhakti, also sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, nishta, ruchi, asakti, there's also different emphasis or practices that are recommended in the scriptures. So, if one should follow the regulations on the step that he is on. First he should know which step he's on. Then he should find out what is the recommendations for that step. And then he should follow them. That alone is called dharma and nothing else. According to Krishna's teachings to Uddhava in the Uddhava Gita, in the the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. Sve sve dikare sanishta. Says, according to one's own ability, he has to be fixed in his own saguna parikirtita. He has to be fixed in his own stage. He has to be fixed. That is called dharma, according to his adhikar. And whatever is not, if he doesn't do that, if he fails to follow them, then that is called adharma or impiety. So this, he says, this is the only definition of piety and impiety, or piety and sin. Following these regulations, according to one's position, according to one's nishta. Now, if you, there has to be a forward motion from one step to the next. You can't, you may stay on one step for a long time, but you cannot stay there forever. You have to move up. You may be going slowly, but you should still be moving. And if you don't progress to the next step, then it means you deviate and you fall down. But if you follow the rules and regulations on your step, at your position, then that makes you, that gives you adhikar. It makes you eligible to come up to the next level. It's an important principle of religion and or devotional service. And then when one comes to the next platform, he should renounce the rules from the previous platform. He should not be attached to the rules of the previous platform. If he does, if he doesn't relinquish the attachment to those rules and he continues to follow them, then he may fall down. He has to come up to the next level and follow those rules now, new set of rules. There may be some overlapping, but there will be some new. There'll be some things to give up, and there'll be some things to take on, which are new. I'll give you an example. I'll give you two examples. One, if a person doesn't do that, sometimes we see this in ISKCON. A brahmachari, after 6-7 years, he decides to get married. He finds a nice girl, gets married, and you know whatever. But he still acts like a brahmachari. You know, he doesn't spend time with his wife. He thinks it's maya. And he doesn't take care of his wife. He thinks it's maya. He doesn't want to go and get any money. He thinks that's maya. He doesn't want to collect anything. He thinks that's maya. He doesn't want to have any household paraphernalia. He's still thinking, he's still following the rules of the brahmachari, but now he's in a different platform. And he's got to take on the rules of the grihastha ashram, which is completely different. You can't make advancement in the grihastha ashram if you're still trying to follow the brahmachari rules and regulations. Right? We have seen this as a common thing that happens. I'm also slightly guilty of this because I know what it's like. In the beginning I was like that to a certain extent. So, and then there's an example of Ramanujacharya's servant and cousin whose name was Govinda in the Sri Sampradaya. We have a nice example. In Sri Rangam, Ramanujacharya was living there, and a lot of his grihastha sadhus, disciples, they used to live in the temple, and in their homes the wife would live. And they would come on the weekend and visit their wives. This was the Sri Sampradaya system, basically, in the 12th century or whatever. So, his disciple, Govinda, never visited his home. And he stayed in the ashram all the time, in the temple. And so gradually his mother-in-law came to Ramanuja and started complaining. This boy is not doing his duty to my daughter. He should take care of her. He should give her a child. He should stay with her. And so many things. She's very distressed. So he said, all right. So he spoke to Govinda. Govinda, you should go and spend the night with your wife. Do your duty, your religious duty with your wife? He said, yes, Gurudev. So he went home and he spent the night with his wife. He laid next to her in the bed all night, chanting the holy name. He didn't touch her. The woman was very frustrated, maybe even twice as much. The next day, she complained again to the mother-in-law. And then mother-in-law again went to Ramanuja. He didn't do his duty. Why he didn't do? All right, I'll speak to him. Cool off. And so he said, Govinda, why? I told you, I instructed you, you should spend the night with your wife. He said, I did. I spent the night with her. But why you didn't do your duty? Why you didn't perform your samskar? And he said, well, I found it was too difficult and to do this. And he said, why? He said, because I felt so embarrassed in the presence of the super soul to do such thing. I couldn't get myself to do this because the Lord was present there. It was not very nice. He said, oh, I see. So if that's your realization, then you should take sannyas immediately. He told him, now you have to follow the rules of the next level, because your consciousness has risen above this level, and now you should come to the next level. Now you have to follow a new set of rules, like this. Now you should give up the previous rules and regulations of that ashram, like this. Of course, this is a kind of rare case, you know. There's not so many men that will, you know, see the super soul in their wife's heart. But it illustrates the principle. I'm not recommending you try to do this, you know, with your wife. Get beat over the head with a pot or something. But, it illustrates the principle. So now, he says there's two niyamagrahas. There's two niyamas. One is conditional and the other is constitutional. Constitutional means in the spiritual world. There's niyama and there's nisheda. Vidhi and nisheda. Vidhi means rule and nisheda means negative prohibition. Vidhi, vidhi, like vaidhi bhakti, means rules, right? Vidhi, comes from the word vidhi. Vidhi means rules, and nisheda.
We'll write it down. Maybe. Of all the vidhis and nishedas, there's two which are most important. That's to always remember Krishna and never forget. So the vidhi is always remember, and nisheda is don't forget it.
So constitutionally, we should have prema for Krishna. In the spiritual world, the only vidhi is prema. In the spiritual world, the only rule is prema. And the only restriction is envy. Don't envy. But in this world, there are conditional vidhi and nisheda. In this world, there are conditional rules and restrictions according to your practice of religion. In every religion, Catholics, Christians, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, there's always rules and regulations. You should go to church. You should be kind to your neighbor. You should give in charity. Don't kill. Don't eat meat. Right? There's always do's and don'ts. Basically, that's all it means. Vidhi means do's, nisheda means don'ts. In all religions, there's do's and don'ts. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that in the spiritual world, in our constitutional position, the do is prema. Have love Krishna. And the don't is don't envy. Right? Now, in this world, there's also do's and don'ts, according to your practice. In the world of karma, right, like religion, karma, karma yoga, karma kanda, right? There's all kinds of rules and regulations. The main thing is varnashram. You should do varnashram. And samskar, let's see, we'll put them here. And prayers.